Welcome back to Midnight at the Movies.
Welcome back to yet another episode of the Friday the 13th Marathon, where I've been reviewing every Friday the 13th movie. So if you're interested, you can go back and listen to my review of any of these movies. But tonight we will be talking about Jason Goes to Hell, The Final Friday, which is the ninth film in the series. Although this movie, I think you could argue that it's almost a standalone. I mean, it does build off of some of the previous material, but it is not directly connected to at least part 8 to some degree. I also want to mention that I don't own this movie on Blu-ray, but I own it on VHS, so the version that I was watching is the Special Collector's Edition Unrated Director's Original Cut on VHS tape. So I'm hoping that I got the full experience. I mean, it definitely seemed like they didn't hold back, and I'll get to that in the episode. But the tagline on the VHS tape says, "The creator of the first returns to bring you the last." Now, it's a different director than the previous ones, but it did say in the beginning, a Sean S. Cunningham film or something like that. And Sean Cunningham is, of course, the director of the first one. So I'm assuming he had a large part in making this one. But Jason Goes to Hell, The Final Friday was released in 1993 and was directed by Adam Marcus. And the synopsis says, serial killer Jason Voorhees' supernatural origins are revealed. Yeah, that's it. I mean, there's some other synopsises that I could read, but I think that sums it up pretty nicely. Real quick, I also want to give a spoiler warning. This episode will contain heavy spoilers, and possibly not just for this movie, possibly for some of the previous movies as well. But specifically, if you have not seen Jason Goes to Hell, I do not recommend listening to this. But I honestly don't really care what you do. You know, go ahead if that's what you want to do. With that being said, let's jump into it.
Horror has many faces. Death wears many different masks. But pure evil wears only one. And this is your final chance to see it. Jason Goes to Hell, The Final Friday.
All right, look. Is this movie perfect? No. Does it know what it is? I think so. So this movie, which is the ninth film, as I mentioned earlier, in the Friday the 13th movie collection, if you will. And at this point, I feel like you're not going to really be able to make Jason any scarier than you already have in the past. So you may as well have a little fun with it. And I think that's exactly the kind of movie they were trying to make. And from that perspective, I actually really liked it. Now, I know this is a lot of people's worst movie in the series, or least favorite, but I personally had a lot of fun with it. I think it's a movie that's kind of meant to not be taken seriously. It's a movie that's meant for you to laugh at, have fun with, and just enjoy. It had very similar vibes, in my opinion, to From Dusk Till Dawn, directed by Robert Rodriguez. And it really has a nice Robert Rodriguez sort of feel to it when it comes to like the comedy and how it's not afraid to go over the top, especially with the gore. And let me say, I think this might be the most brutal Friday the 13th movie so far. And again, I have not seen Jason X or Freddy vs. Jason, but I've seen all of the others. So I think I have enough to compare it to by now. I mean, early on in the movie, this couple is having sex in a tent, and he shoves a freaking, like, I guess it was a machete. I don't even know. I don't think it was a machete. I think it was actually, like, I don't know. It must have been some sort of knife or machete, whatever it was. He just sticks it right through her while she's on top of the dude having sex with him. She screams, and then he slices her body in half. And the camera angles that they got, and just her screaming, the noises she made when he killed her, was awesome. That's the kind of stuff I'm looking for, man. Did I say part 8 was cheesy? Because this takes the cream of the crop for most cheesy, but in my opinion, in a good way. Now, yes, a lot of the story is kind of stupid, especially towards the very end when we realize that she has to stab him with this special dagger because she's a Voorhees, and for some reason this dagger is like magic or whatever. You know, that was kind of stupid. But again, I don't think you're supposed to take it seriously, man. And everything with Duke, the bounty hunter guy, and all that stuff was great. I loved how he like had the secret information, and he would only give it to Jessica's boyfriend, who's in the cell next to him, if he paid for it, quote unquote. And by pay for it, he has to stick his hand through the bars and basically let Duke break one of his fingers each time to get more information out of him. I was loving it. I'm also glad that it really did not linger on any of the stupid storylines. It really like kind of almost rushed through and skipped to the points that we really needed to know. At least that's how I felt watching it. For example, right when we find out that the bad guy, well, not really bad guy, because I guess you could say Jason's the bad guy, but the boyfriend of Jessica, he's walking around the Voorhees house while her baby daddy, what's his name? What the fuck is his name? I can't find his name anywhere on here. Okay, damn, his name is Steven. That took a lot longer than I thought to look it up. Okay, so Steven is hiding in the closet. Jessica's boyfriend, whatever the hell his name is, news reporter guy, is walking around talking on the phone about his evil plan that he hid Diana's body in the house, and they're gonna stage the police to come, you know, find it so that the news channel will get lots of coverage or something. Right when we find that out, I was thinking in my head, like, damn, I really hope we don't go through this very cartoony section of the movie where he's the bad guy and we have to all of a sudden, you know, have to watch Steven convince the cops that this reporter dude's a bad guy. But no, right away, right after he spills the beans, Jason comes in as the sheriff deputy, whatever the hell the police officer's name is. I'm not even going to look it up. Jumps on top of him, starts making out with him, you know, transferring Jason's spirit or whatever into the body of the news guy. So I was like, yes, storyline averted. There were a lot of moments like that where we got just enough to know, okay, this news guy is a really big douchebag, so it's okay if he dies right now. And, you know, like right after we meet Diana, she dies. They weren't saving any time for a little chit-chat, you know? And I actually really appreciated that from this movie. Yes, it's ridiculous. It's far out there. I could see why some people that were looking for a straight-up horror, like creepy Jason movie could be disappointed, but there are plenty of others that gave us that. I think this is definitely unique to the series. This one and part 6 kind of go hand in hand, where they're almost trying to be comical with it. A lot of the practical effects I thought looked pretty good. A lot of the special effects or VFX weren't that great, but they were good in that early 90s kind of way. You know what I mean? I feel like the early 90s and the 90s in general, those movies just have a little bit of a charm to them. if they're done right, and I feel like this one was done right. And there was not really a moment that I felt like it lulled, because, like I said, anytime the storyline kind of started to go in a not-so-interesting direction, they curved it back around. And, like I said, I even felt a little bit of Evil Dead in this. You know how they have a lot of comedy, but it's still horror and all that? I felt like that had to be an influence on this, as well as possibly Dusk Till Dawn. And there were a lot of really great one-liners, specifically from Duke, that I can't remember off the top of my head, but if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. Again, was it cheesy? Very cheesy. Was the plot line about how Jason can only be stopped by a Voorhees crazy? Yeah. But did it have a lot of character to it? I think so. Again, it was probably one of the most brutal ones out of the series, like I said. And I don't know if that's because I watched the uncut version or what, but like I said, I loved it. Now, I'm not going to rank this one because I feel like it's way too different than the others to really rank it alongside them, especially because the storyline does not necessarily carry straight through to this one. I feel like it's kind of a separate thing, kind of like I'm assuming Freddy vs. Jason will be, but I have not watched that yet. And I don't know what the hell Jason X is about. All I know is they go to space or something. That's going to be a fun watch. I've still got to go track that one down, but you better believe I'll be reviewing it. And that's about it. That's all I can really think of. And of course, right after I'm done editing this, I'll probably think of like five more things I wanted to say about it, but oh well. I think for what it was, and if I had to pick a Friday the 13th that I had the most fun with, I honestly think I might choose this one. It's definitely not the most comprehensive or well-written out of the series. It's definitely not the scariest. It's definitely not the creepiest. But I loved it. This one really felt like the perfect 90s movie. Like, this thing has 90s written all over it. But yeah, that's all I got. So, thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to keep up to date with all the latest episodes that I've got coming out. You can also check out my YouTube channel at the Cornelius Collection, where I talk about collecting movies, collecting Blu-rays, collecting vinyl records, physical media as a whole. If you're into that, go check it out and support me. That would mean the world to me. But overall, just have a great night. Happy Halloween, even though it's not quite Halloween yet. And I will see you guys in the next one. Peace out.